read those hymns. I could just read them to you, and we wouldn't even need a sermon this morning. But I have a job to do, so no such luck. My dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. But had John been running the show, it might never have happened. When Jesus came to John to be baptized, John tried to stop him, didn't he? He said, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" I mean, Jesus coming to be baptized seemed upside down to John. The lesser should be baptized by the greater. The servant should be baptized by the master. The sinner should be baptized by the sinless one. So John's correct, at least in that way of looking at things, but it's a law way of looking at things. It's a reasonable human way of looking at things, but it's not the gospel way. In the gospel, the sinless one is baptized by a sinner. The Lord of all becomes the servant of all. The greater is baptized by the lesser. And the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is prepared for his sacrifice, washed on his way to the altar. We need to be clear about Jesus' baptism. It's not an example for you and I to follow. Hear me out. First of all, it's John's baptism that Jesus receives, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins to prepare for one the coming of the Christ, God's promised Messiah. But our baptism is at Jesus' command. It's holy baptism. Holy because it's the Lord's. Jesus' baptism makes our baptism possible. But they are not one and the same thing. The heavens were not visibly opened at your baptism, were they? The Father's voice wasn't audible when you were baptized, was it? The Spirit did not physically and visibly descend upon you in the form of a dove, did he? I mean, those are all unique to Jesus' baptism. We're not baptized as an imitation of Jesus, but solely because of his command and his promise. Think of it this way. Jesus' baptism didn't save him, but his baptism saves us. Jesus' baptism didn't wash away his sins. He had no sin. But our holy baptism washes away our sins. Our baptism is not our heavenly birth by the Spirit, because Jesus, by his baptism, didn't become a child of God. He was already the Son of God. But our baptism makes us one of his. He puts his name on us. We become his child through our baptism. Your holy baptism joins you to Jesus' death, as the Apostle Paul so clearly states in Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We ought to have that scripture memorized in our back pockets, inscribed on our brains, especially when someone suggests that baptism doesn't do anything or that it's something that you and I do. mean, you were buried with Christ by baptism into death. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Through baptism, God buries us into the death of Jesus, declaring us dead to sin, but alive to himself in his Son. Not even Jesus' baptism was something that he did, right? Jesus didn't get himself baptized. Jesus was baptized. He received it from the hand of John. It was done to him. And that's what scandalized John. John didn't feel qualified to baptize the one whose sandals he wasn't even worthy to untie. Can't blame him. So Jesus' baptism is many things, but an example for us to follow or a symbolic religious act isn't one of them. Here at his baptism, we have Jesus' ordination, if you will, the beginning of his public ministry, which begins with the Father identifying him as his well-pleasing Son and the Spirit descending upon him. So what's his mission and ministry that was inaugurated at his baptism? Well, listen to the list. It's to bring the kingdom of God. It's to usher in the new age of the Messiah, to defeat sin, death, and the devil, to bring eternal life and forgiveness of sins, to rescue fallen humanity from its captivity to sin and death, to be the second Adam, the new head of humanity, to fulfill the law with his perfect obedience, to bear the punishments of the law in our place as the Lord's suffering servant, to become sin for us that in him we might become the righteousness of God, to bring in a new creation, making all things new in his death and resurrection. I mean, these all began at Jesus' baptism, which is what Jesus meant when he said to John, who didn't understand the need for Jesus to be baptized, "Let it now be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus' baptism was a necessary part of him being the Savior from sin. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was being prepared for his offering in our place through the washing of water. He's our stand-in, our substitute, the one who offers his life in the place of ours. Blood for blood. But this washing here at the Jordan was different because he was already pure. But he was washed, listen to this, in our sins, so that we might be washed from our sins. The baptismal water that Jesus stepped into at that Jordan was a baptism for sinners. And that water was flowing dirty with all the sins of those who went before him. Prostitutes and scoundrels of all manners of sinners were coming to John wanting to be cleansed from their past and their sins. And Jesus had no sin which to repent of, no past that needed cleansing. He was sinless and holy. But in being baptized, Jesus joined himself with those same sinners, with all of sinful humanity, with you and with me. He became sin for us. He became our sin. In his baptism, as scandalous as this might sound, he became the adulterer, the thief, the murderer, the gossip, the liar, the idolater. He was joined to you and I in our sin and death so that we might be joined to him in his death and in his life. He became the sin of the world in order to take away the sin of the world by nailing it to a cross and burying it in his grave. My friends, in his baptism, Jesus was immersed in our sin so that we might be drowned in his righteousness. Jesus' baptism is the inauguration of his mission. Before then, there's really nothing much to report. I mean, we heard this in this last Christmas season about his virgin birth, the night of the manger, the shepherds, the angel, the star, the magi. And then there's Jesus' circumcision, which we talked about last week. His presentation at the temple to Simeon. Remember that? The flight to Egypt, the return to Nazareth. And then there's that weird story about when he was 12 going to the temple and mom and dad couldn't find him. But all of those events that are recorded lead up to this moment in the water with John to fulfill all righteousness. And while Jesus was still as much the Savior of the world lying in the manger or confounding the teachers in the temple, you wouldn't have known him just by looking at him. He would look like any other kid on the block in Nazareth up to this point. But here, at the Jordan, you do. Here, you see the heavens opened. You hear the voice of the Father. You see the Spirit descending. And you know there's something about Jesus that is unlike any other. Of no other human who ever lived, did the Father ever say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, God was pleased with Adam at the beginning, but not for long, was he? God was not pleased with Adam's sin and the death Adam brought into the world because of it. And God is not pleased with you or me and our sin. Sometimes you hear the saying, "God hates the sin, but loves the sinner." And that sounds nice and good, kind of gospel-y, but it's not quite true. God hates sin, that's very true. He hates what sin has done to those who he created in his image. He hates the death that sin has brought into this world. God hates sin. Make no mistake about it. But God just doesn't simply love the sinner. His law and his justice doesn't permit that. Yet he loves the sinner in his Son. He loves you in his Son. He says to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son." And in saying it to Jesus, he's saying it to you in Jesus. For to be in Christ is to be God's beloved child. To have the heavens opened also up to you and to have the Spirit descend upon you in Christ. And my friends, in Christ, God is well pleased with you. That's what it means to be baptized. For you and for me. For we are in Christ being baptized. We've put on Christ. Before God, we are children of Adam, fallen sinners, but now we're wrapped up. We're clothed in Christ. And so God looks on you through your baptism, and he says, "You are my beloved child with whom I'm well pleased." In Christ, you have fulfilled all righteousness. Why? Because Jesus has fulfilled all righteousness for you. His obedience is yours. His death is yours. His life is yours. Jesus didn't become the Son of God in his baptism. He was always that from eternity. But you did become a child of God in your baptism. Paul calls us a new creation, reborn from above by water and the Spirit. You were washed and sanctified and justified in Jesus Christ, joined to his death and resurrection, as we heard in our epistle reading this morning. You were crucified with Christ, and you are now raised with him. You died and were set free from slavery to sin and bondage to death. In your baptism, God filled out the death certificate of the old man in Adam and the birth certificate of the new man in Christ. Your death and resurrection are a done deal as far as God is concerned. And yet the deal isn't quite done, is it? I mean, the sinner is still alive and well. The saint in Christ is hidden. Our life as baptized believers in Christ is a life of paradox and tension, of being a sinner and a saint at the same time. I mean, we find ourselves doing what we don't want to do and not doing the things that we want to do. I mean, we live our lives now in the middle of a spiritual battle, wanting to live as new creatures in Christ, but always confronted with our brokenness and inability to love God and love each other from a pure heart. The old sinner remains in us and must, my friends, be drowned each day in the death of Christ. The new man in Christ, he also remains and must rise each day to new life. This is the life of the baptized, the baptismal life. Every day of this life, we must wake up under the sign of the cross and in the name of God to remind ourselves of what God has said to us in our baptism. You are my beloved child with whom I'm well pleased. I no longer see you as a child of your father Adam. I see you as my child in my son. I no longer see your sin. I see his righteousness. I have declared you dead to sin, but alive to me in Christ. So now every day of life that I give you until the day you die and the day you rise, you must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's why Christ was baptized by John. To begin what is now given to you in your baptism. My friends, you and I are free to live life now in Christ without fear or judgment or fear of condemnation. For Jesus has taken that upon himself, and he has given you a new and abundant life to be lived now as beloved children of God with whom he is very well pleased. In the name of Jesus.